come and do our Bible reading. Thank you.
The reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 18 to 27, and is headed Peter's Confession of Christ. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Amen.
Thank you. So I know that some schools have broken up already. Some of us are still working. I don't finish till partway through this week. But it is that stage of the year, the school year, when I start to clear things out. I've been clearing out my school bag that I take into all my different schools. And I find, when I get to this stage of the year and I start having a look, there's all kinds of things that I've got shoved in it over the year that have kind of weighed it down and taken up space and just sort of stayed there. Things I might need, things I'd tucked in to just because I didn't have any hands spare. It means I have to squash in the things I need. You know, I've been doing a series called Rest, based on All Who Are Weary, based on a fabulous, fabulous book. We started with Jesus' invitation, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." We talked about how he offers himself to all of us, how it's up to us to respond, how we need different rest depending what we've given out, what we've used up. So over the years since September, I've been looking at things we carry around with us, things we don't need to, things that wear us down, things that distract us from the main things, things that distort our view of ourselves and other people, things that get in the way of our relationship with God. We've looked at, can we have the list, Dan? We've looked at worthlessness, condemnation, self-sufficiency, worry, insecurity, comparison, perfectionism, insignificance, despair, and regret. I think if we look at those, there's none of us think, well, I want to take some of that with me today. That's not, I'm packing for a picnic or a day out or to go on holiday or just to go about my day and those are the things I need to take. None of us would want to take those things with us, do we? But yet, often we do. Over the year, we've talked about how they affect us, how we can recognise if we're carrying them, if we're being weighed down by them, if we're carting them around with us when we don't really need to. And I hope as well that we've received hope that we don't have to carry them. These are not things that Jesus gives us. These are not things that he wants to be part of our lives. Recognition's key, isn't it? I can know my bag is heavy every time I haul it out of the car. I know my school bag's heavy. But nothing changes till I take the time to look at what's in there that shouldn't be. And then decide to do something about it. Nothing changes till I've looked and recognised and decided to deal with it. So today's the final part of the series. We've looked at what to put down. We'll come back to them later on. We've looked at what to put down. The final chapter in the book that this wonderful lady wrote, Sarah wrote, is called What to Carry Instead. So when we've cleared out, when our bags are nice and empty, when we're not hauling things around with us that we don't need to inside, when we're not weighed down and distracted, what do we carry then instead? So in a nice bit of symmetry, I'm going to read you Matthew 11, 28 again, where we started right back in September. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, come to me, I will give you rest. Then he gives us an invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I've been doing a little bit of looking at what a yoke is. He's inviting us to take his yoke. We need to know what it is we're trying to pick up, don't we? So the definition of a yoke is a crossbar with two U-shaped pieces that encircle the necks of a pair of oxen who are working together. That's what it is. There's some things that I've learned about yokes as I've been preparing this. I thought I'd pass on. Might be the summer holidays, but I'm still a teacher at heart. Some things I've learned about yokes. So they were made to fit an individual ox. You don't just go somewhere and get any old yoke, that'll do. The yokes were made for individual oxen. So it was vital that they fitted properly. Not too loose, not too tight, that they don't rub. What a fabulous image that shows of us, how Jesus knows each of us individually. It just reminds us that he doesn't see just a sea of faces. He sees individuals that he knows and values and understands and knows what's gone on in the past and knows what's going on in the present. Yokes are made to fit an individual oxen. So the yoke that Jesus is inviting us to carry, to pick up, his yoke, is for each of us individually. Oxes with yoke. Did I say oxes then instead of oxen? Sorry, there may be a bit of mixing between. So you have to submit and surrender to the master. If you're an oxen and you've got your yoke on, then you're submitting, surrendering to the master. You've got to get to know the master's instructions. If you're the ox and the master's behind and he's got the, you know, the ropes and however they work, and he's shouting instructions and he's tugging on things and the reins to make you go certain ways. You've got to know and understand, to recognise his voice, to recognise what the different tugs and signals and flicks of a rein might mean. We've got to learn to recognise God's voice. We've got to choose to submit to him. We've got to learn to recognise. And often, when there was a new young ox, they didn't just bung him in a yoke and send him off. They pair him up with an experienced ox. So the experienced ox could help the young ox to learn. Do you notice in verse 29, Jesus said, let me just make sure I get the right words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus isn't expecting us to know exactly how to do everything. He's not expecting us to say, look, here's the instructions, get on with it yourself. He's teaching. He's offering to teach us. He's offering to help us learn from him. He's offering to show us how it works, which way to go, what to do, how to respond. I wonder how teachable we are. Do you know, when I sit in front of a class, there's often some children who are keen to watch and look. And if you say, hold the instrument like this, or try this rhythm, or have a look, this is how you do it, they're keen to watch and learn and have a go themselves. They're the children we like having in our classes. The others are the ones who are not looking and know exactly what to do, even if it's not right, and are quite determined that they're doing their own thing because that's what they want to do. Jesus is offering to help us learn. He's offering to teach us. He's offering to show us. He's offering to do this with us. It's up to us to choose. So what is this yoke that Jesus is inviting us to pick up? What does he ask of his disciples? One answer is in Luke chapter 9 that Margaret read for us. Straight after, who do I say I am? Who do you say I am? Jesus is finding out who the disciples, trying to get them to think about who he is. Not just what other people say, but who do they say that he is? Then in verse 23, Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Take up their cross daily and follow me. So it's a decision to be yoked, to recognise who Jesus is and surrender our lives to him. Then it's a daily decision to choose to follow. To take up our cross and follow. In Roman times, criminals would be forced to carry the horizontal part of the cross through the streets on the way to the crucifixion site. US theologian Craig Keener said, carrying the horizontal crossbeam meant enduring mockery and scorn on a path leading to death as a condemned criminal. Crucifixion was the worst form of death. Imagine how the Jews felt to hear that from Jesus. Because they would picture that when he said, take up your cross and follow me daily. They would picture that. They would picture somebody who'd done something awful, who was on his way to death, carrying a cross through the street, being mocked and scorned and physically attacked. Doesn't sound a winning thing, does it? Doesn't sound a great image to put in people's minds. That's my cross to bear is a saying that's often used to describe a challenging situation, a relationship that we have to deal with, something that's ours that we just have to get on with. But as I've been thinking about it this week, as I've been reading it and finding out what other people who know more than me think, I think it's more than that. I think it's about an attitude. It's a choice. It's a way of living. Carrying our cross is about putting ourselves aside. It's about focusing on who God is and following him. It's about personal sacrifice, not just doing what we want to do. It's about enduring hardship, the way that David talked about patience and self-control last week. It's about commitment to discipleship, choosing to keep on following God's way. And it's about finding strength in God to help us with all those things. Many of Jesus' disciples were killed because they were following Jesus. And many Christians around the world still are. For many, following Jesus costs everything. Jobs, homes, friends, even their life. And yet, still, they choose to follow and worship. When in some ways, life would seem to be much easier not to. It doesn't sound easy and light, does it? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This doesn't sound easy and light, does it? It doesn't sound, here we are in a relaxing place. Here we are just having what we want. Here we are with everything just laid out nice and easily before us. But Jesus doesn't tell lies. So somehow it must be worth it. It must be better than it seems. For us, we might not face such extreme challenges as the risk of losing our life because of who we choose to worship. But we still have choices and sacrifices to make each day. And if we're honest, probably sometimes we do a great job, sometimes we don't. Let me read you these list of hymn titles I found. So it's called Hymns the Way We'd Sing Them If We Were Completely Honest. It says, oh, no, I'm not going to sing them, I'm just going to say them. You're going to have to pick out the song. It says, I surrender some. I surrender all. Take my life and let me be just as I am. Oh, when the saints go sneaking in. Oh, for a couple of tongues to sing. I'm fairly certain my Redeemer lives. What an acquaintance we have in Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall somewhere near me. We sing great words, don't we? We sing great words of passion, and we want to mean them, but it's hard. It's a challenge. It's easy to choose self-preservation over bold belief. It's easy to choose comfort over crucifixion. It's easy to choose our way, not God's way. As we choose our words, our responses, as we choose where we focus our attention, who to listen to, what we believe, are we putting God first? Is it a choice we make every day? Or is it a choice we make when we remember? A choice we make when we wake up feeling full of energy? A choice when life looks like it's going to be a good day? Or is it a choice we make every day and keep on making? Does it sound too much? It sounds heavy, doesn't it? Sounds like some of those. But remember, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he's not already done. He promises the Holy Spirit to equip us. In Luke 9 that Margaret read, it says that the heaviest burden is one that means we lose our soul. It might seem lighter now, but in the long term it's far worse. And remember, the two ox yoked together to work shoulder to shoulder. What a fabulous picture of Jesus in our walk with us, of the Holy Spirit equipping us, giving us courage, giving us faith, giving us a sense of who we are, to work in us, to walk it with us, to work through us to others. So I wonder what challenges and distractions are you facing that tempt you to go with the world? What tempts you to believe what the world says and not what God says? What tempts you to put yourself first and not God first? What tempts you to hedge your bets and fit in, or to choose comfort over challenge? That's where the individual yoke comes in, doesn't it? Because all our answers to those will be different. They might change over time, depending what week it is, what season of our lives it is. But I can bet we all have challenges and distractions. We all have times when we're choosing. Are we choosing God's way or not? Sometimes we notice and make our choice. Sometimes we do it automatically out of habit and don't realise till afterwards that actually what we chose was not God's way. Maybe ask God to show you what your challenges, what your distractions are, the times that you're tempted to pick up one of those instead of picking up Jesus' yoke. So that's the first thing we're supposed to carry instead. The first thing that's going to equip our lives, the first thing that's going to free us to be God's people, is to pick up our cross, to choose each day to follow him. The second answer to Jesus, to what Jesus' yoke is found in Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, help each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, for when we came into Macedonia, this is Paul speaking on his travels. When we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. That's just three verses. At the beginning, Paul is afflicted and without rest. By the end, two verses later, he's rejoicing in God. He's full of joy and rejoicing. How's he gone from there to there in just a few verses? Just a short period of time? Tells us in the middle, he was comforted by God through other believers. Titus came. Titus shared hope and joy. Titus shared the good wishes of all the people he'd come from. He shared the concern. He shared the life. He brought hope from other places. And that changed how Paul felt about the situation. What does that look like? We know what that looks like, don't we, as a church? We know about offering practical help to people. People we know through the church, people we know in our own lives. We know about meeting material needs. What about listening without judgment? Knowing that we can say how we feel. We can say what's going on and know we're still welcomed and loved and cherished. What about being noticed and valued? When something's changed about us, when something's happened. What about being alongside those who are mourning, who are grieving, who are struggling? What about encouraging each other? When we notice what somebody's done, what somebody's shared with us, the difference somebody's part has made to us in our lives. All those things happen here in our fabulous church family, but they also happen through us in the wider world, in the people we meet in our own individual lives. It's really important to know that when we help others, we are choosing to follow Jesus. Just tell me about my boss's mum. So my boss Angela is fantastic and does a super job of being in charge of the team that I work with. But she has four children who are very busy. And she always says that she can't do what she couldn't do what she does except for the help from her mum and dad, who are fully involved in the lives of her children. So we benefit. Angela's mum and dad help out, they help her, and we benefit. What a fabulous picture of joining in and how helping somebody spreads out and helps lots of others. So our invitation from Jesus is clear, I think, and it's life-changing. Far more important than emptying out my school bag at the end of the year and dealing with bits of rubbish that have got stuffed in there because they might have been useful. Far more life-changing. Jesus invites us to put down the things, the weights we're not meant to carry. He invites us to let him help us deal with them, which might be an immediate release and it might be a process that we work through. He invites us to be yoked to him and to learn from him and walk the path that he has particularly laid out for us because he knows each of us individually. And we're invited to share his love in the way we help each other. I'm going to finish with those verses from Matthew 11 again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. We're going to sing. And we're going to sing Build My Life, which is all about having Jesus as the foundation for who we are what we believe and how we live. Let's stand and sing together. So we're going to pray. Dan, can we have that list back up? Thank you. Fab. So we're going to pray, and there's going to be some silence. I'm trusting you to stay awake. Going to be some silence because it's not, I don't know what you need to say to God. I don't know what he needs to say to you this morning, what you need to hear and take away. So I'm going to say a few things. I'm going to leave some gaps in between. If you find God saying something different than what I'm saying, then I'd say go with God. Let's pray. You might want to just start off, sorry, with your fists clenched. Got this list. If you want to be looking at the list while we're praying, that's okay. Dear God, we come to you because you love us. We come to you because you know each of us individually. We come to you to receive your rest. Lord, as we read the list again of weights that we carry that we don't need to, I pray for each of us that you'll show us what we carry that we shouldn't, that's not ours, that we don't need, that's holding us back. But also, Lord, show us how you're going to help us put it down and stop keep picking it up. Lord, we pray that you can help us put down the weight of worthlessness, of condemnation, of self-sufficiency, of worry. Help us put down the weight of insecurity and comparison, perfectionism, of insignificance, despair, and regret. Father God, we pray for each of us that we can recognise your voice, however it is you speak to us. Help us to recognise you. Give us the confidence to know that you're going to help us put down things we don't need to carry around with us. And Lord, we pray that our stories of how you've done that and the difference it's made will bless and encourage and inspire many other people. People here and people out in our lives. Lord, as we think of Jesus' invitation to carry your yoke, to learn from you. To each day choose to carry our cross of putting you first. Or for some this morning, maybe it's a chance to make a first choice to trust you. For some of us, it's a reminder that this is every day. And we can start afresh again every day. For others, Lord, we need to see you. We need to see where you are in the world that we're in and the situations we're facing. Challenge us, Lord, and show us those areas of our lives that we don't include you in. The relationships, the attitudes, the situations that we exclude you from. Challenge us, Lord, and show us your way, a better way. Lord, as we help other people, as we share your love in the words we say, the things we do, the notice and value we take. Lord, we want to pray for the prayer cards, for those conversations, the prayers that have been requested from the precinct Friday and Saturday this week. Lord, you know every life. You know every situation. We pray. Pray for your love in those situations. We pray for answers to prayers, whether we hear them or not. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to solve them. We don't even have to know what happens. We trust that you're working because we've prayed. And for those other people, Lord, for those people we carry in our hearts, those people in our families, in our friends, our neighbours at work, things we see on the news, those situations that touch us. Lord, we bring them to you. Again, Lord, knowing that you know all, you know their names, you know their situation, you know the way through. Help us to pray with confidence, Lord, not because it's us praying, but because it's you we're praying to. We pray for your glory to be seen, for your name to be praised, for your love to be shared through us in the lives of those people in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and that you listen to us. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.